Today's daf is Bav Metzia, daf Vav. We left off in daf Heyam and Beis. We're in the middle of the sugya about Migo de Chashra Mamona, Chashra Shvuasa. Do we assume that if someone is suspected of maybe lying in regards to money or stealing money, that we necessarily cannot believe him by a Shvua? How can you believe a Shvua that he says if he's Chashra Mamona? So the Gemara is discussing whether we hold Migo de Chashra Mamona, Chashra Shvuasa, or maybe we say, no, that a Shvua is much more serious. So a person may do a lesser crime, something that has to do with stealing money, but he's still not going to be Chashra on violating a Shvua. Just before we get back into that sugya, I mentioned yesterday in the idea of Lifnei Iver, when we said, the Gemara had said that if you give your animals to a shepherd who you know will graze the sheep in fields that don't belong to him, that's a violation of Lifnei Iver L'Sitin Michshol. So I said yesterday that it has to be analyzed carefully if that's Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa or Lifnei Iver D'Rabbanan, because the shepherd is capable of stealing from other people's fields without your sheep. It's just that he's not going to do it unless he has your sheep to graze somewhere and he needs a place for it to graze. Then he's going to do it. So on my brother's blog yesterday, my brother's Daf Yomi blog, he actually discussed this issue. So I was gratified to see that someone discussed it. He said that there's a machlokas chazanish and the taz in regards to this issue. When you enable... When you give somebody the opportunity to violate an iser that they could have violated without you, but they would not have violated it without you, they could have, but they wouldn't have. So the taz in Yoredeya Simen Kuf Mem Ches Sifkat and Gimel implies that as long as a person could have done it, it's not Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa to provoke him to do it. Whereas Chazanish in Simen Samach Gimel, Os Yud Gimel says no, that if you are Machriya Cheftzo to violate an Isser that he could have done without you, I mean, you caused him to, he wouldn't have thought of it, he wouldn't have wanted to do it, he wouldn't have been inclined to do it, he could have, but he wouldn't have actually done it, then you, that too is a violation of Lifnei Iver L'Sitin Michshol. And in addition to our Gemara possibly being a Raya, if you understand our Gemara referring to Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa, the Gemara in Kiddushin also, the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Beis, implies that there's an Isser D'Oraisa of Lifnei Iver for a father to provoke his son into hitting him. I mean, it says a father shouldn't be makab b'no gadol. He shouldn't hit an older child, because whereas a younger child might just cry, the older child will punch him back. Right, so if you're going to provoke the child into hitting you, that's Lifnei Iver. It's causing the child to violate an Isser D'Oraisa. Now, the child could hit me whether I hit him or not. It's just that he has no reason to just walk over to me out of nowhere and punch me in the face. But he might hit me, but he could theoretically do it. It's just that I'm provoking him to do it. So you see in that Gemara, if you understand that when that Gemara uses the term Lifnei Iver, that we're referring to Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa, so that's a raya, that if I cause someone to do an iser that he could have done without me, but he would not have done without me, that too is Lifnei Iver Midaraisa. So I was glad to see someone discussed it. Okay, back to our sugi though, of Migo de Chashra Mono Chashra Shvasa. The Gemara is trying to bring rayas that we don't say Migo de Chashra Mono Chashra Shvasa. Yesterday we went through the first raya. The first raya was the whole idea of Moda B'Miktsas has to swear. Well, what do we suspect of the guy if he's Moda B'Miktsas? Obviously we suspect that he might be lying. That's the only reason we want to make him swear. And yet we think, even though he might be lying about money, we're okay with him swearing. So you see that we don't assume Migo de Chashran Mona, Chashran Shvasa. Just because he's Chashran Mamon does not mean he's going to be Chashran Shvua. We're going to allow him to take a Shvua. The Gemara says, no, he's not lying about money. We don't suspect that he's lying about money. We suspect that he's trying to stall about the money, that he's trying to wait until he has enough money to pay back. So says the Gemara, Raya number two. Ella, I think that's where we left off on the last one line is Ha. Ella Hadatani Raim Barchama Arba Shomrin Srichim Kfir Mixas Vadabi Mixas. There are four Shomrim that require in order to take a Shvasa Shomrim. This was the Chiddush we had before, that you not only need to be a Shomer on an object where you claim that something happened to it that would make you Pater, like a Gneva Veda, if you're, let's say, a Shomer Chinam, you would also need to have a Moda B'Miktsas combined with your Shvasa Shomrim, and we list off Shomer Chinam, Ashol, Nosi, Sachar, V'Socher. So over there also, if we suspect that maybe he pocketed the item, maybe he kept it for himself, so that's why we're making him take the Shvua, well, what's the Shvua going to help? Name Amigo de Chashra, Mono Chashra, Shvasa. Why don't we say if we're Choshe that maybe he pocketed the item, we should be just as Choshe that he's going to lie when he takes his Shvua. So you see that we obviously don't hold Migal Duchasha, Monachasha, Shvasa. Says the Gemara, no, Hasum Nami, Yishtamutu Kamishtamet. Over there also, he's just stalling. Savar Mashkach Leganav Vitafisnale. He figures, I'll find the Ganav and I'll get it, meaning he knows it was stolen from him. Why is he going to lie about it? Because he still thinks he'll be able to get it back. Meaning that, so, but a shvoi is not going to be suspected on. Inami mishkach le'ba'agam ha'sinalei, or he figures if I lost it, I'll go find it somewhere in the agam. I'll increase the search. I'll step up my search party a little bit, and I'll find it. I just need to stall for time. So in the meantime, I just have to make a claim that's going to get me off the hook. Fracting Mari Yahi, I come from a Picadon, I'm my apostle Ledos. Name is Shabbat Kamishami Savrad of Hashem Shkachanale. Why by a Picadon? If you're kofer having a Picadon, why you apostle Ledos? What happens by a Picadon? Someone gave me something to watch. I wasn't allowed to use it, I wasn't allowed to do anything to it. So I just say that, no, you never gave it to me. Right? I'm kofer the Picadon. So we say, I'm apostle Ledos because well, yeah, I can't be stalling, right? Because I'm not supposed to spend it. I should have had it in my possession the whole time. But over there also, maybe I lost it. And I'm just stalling to be able to find it. I'm just stalling until I could search a little bit more and find it. So it says in Merna, Kiamri, I cover Bibikadim Pasula Eidos, Kingoda Asu Sahade Vas Hidubeda, He Shaita Isli Bikadim Base Vavayada. Now, when is a cover Bibikadim Pasula Eidos? You're right, in a Chinami. If, as far as we know, the animal might have been lost, the Bikadim might have been lost, then you're right, a cover Bibikadim is not going to be Pasula Eidos. He'll be totally fine, Leidos. When is a cover Bibikadim Pasula Eidos? Only when we have Edom that know that at the time that he was kofar, he had it in his possession. So you know that he wasn't stalling. You know that he wasn't just waiting till he finds it. You know that he was lying. That's when we say kofar pipikadon's pasal edus. Inami dav nakle biyadir. He had it in his hands. Again, at the time that he denied it. Now the Rashi over here says. Hachi Karsinon, three lines from the bottom. Hahi Shaita Havagabe says Rashi Vilogaras Hahi Shaita de Ishtava. We don't have the girsa that at the moment that he swore it was in his hands. That we don't say. It's Hahi Shaita. What's Hahi Shaita then if it's not the moment that he swore? So Pashas is the moment that he was kofar. It's when he denied having it before he swore to his denial, so we know he had it in his hands. That's when he's going to be Pasolatus. Now, why are we not goris the word Ishtava? Why can't it be that at the time that he swore, we know he had it in his hands? Says Tosfos, Logar sin de Ishtava di ika sadi de nishpal sheker b'milvanami pasul. Because the way the Brisa formulated it was that if a guy is kofar b'milva, he's kashalatus. If he's kofar b'pikadon, he's pasolatus. So they're supposed to parallel each other, and in the same case that when he's kofar b'pikadon he'd be pasula edus, apparently if he's kofar b'milva he'd be kashula edus. Now by a milva also, if I know for sure that at the time that he swore he was lying, so then by a milva he's also pasula edus. Someone who's nishpal sheker, someone who you know lies under oath, is going to be pasul edus. That there's no doubt. So the only case where it's going to make a difference between a pikadon and a milva is we know that he lied, but we don't know that. But he did not lie under oath. We don't necessarily know that it was under oath that he lied. That while he was taking a shvuah, he was lying. So by the milva, we're not going to say he's pasul edus because yes, he lied, but maybe he was just stalling for time. And by the pikadon, the assumption is he can't be stalling for time because he has possession of the item itself. Okay, so back to trying to figure out how we know that Migal Dechasha, whether we know Migal Dechasha Armona Chashla Shvuasa or not, or rather how we know that Migal Dechasha Armona is not Chashla Shvuasa. Ella number three. When a guy takes a shvua that the item is not in his rishus, that's going on. Rashi points out this is going on a case in Hamafkid when a guy wants to pay instead of swearing. So if a guy wants to pay instead of swearing, we at least make him take a shvua that it's not berishuso. I mean, he doesn't want to swear exactly what happened to it, that it was stolen, that it was this, that it was onus. He doesn't want to swear exactly to the exact details, but we at least make him take a shvua that it's not berishuso. But wait a second. Name of Migal Dechashamon. If we obviously suspect he might be lying, so how can you believe anything he says in a shvua? And now the guy says, look, I'm paying for it. I'm saying that I don't want to swear because I'd rather pay than swear. So he's going to be more heter for himself. He doesn't feel like he's doing anything that wrong. Meaning, in that case, the reason why you're going to believe him to take a shvua is because even if he's lying, he doesn't feel like he's doing anything that wrong because bottom line, he's giving money for it. So he doesn't feel like he's doing any major iser. Frankly, Mar, no major iser. Amalei Rav Achim Yedifle Ravina Vakaavar Alav De Lo Sachmod. Only one of the Big Ten, right? No major iser. It's a violation of Lo Sachmod. Why do you want to keep it? Because you covet that which belongs to somebody else. So if you're in violation of Lo Sachmod, you're absolutely violating an iser. So says Amar Lo Sachmod Inchi Below Dami Mashmalahu. No, he doesn't feel like he's violating Lo Sachmod. I mean, in Echonami, he is violating Lo Sachmod, but it doesn't feel like he's violating Lo Sachmod, because people generally think that Lo Sachmod is only if you don't pay for something. But if you pay for something, people don't realize that that's also Lo Sachmod. The Rambam writes that the Yisur of Lo Sachmod is a Lav She'in Bo Maisa. Because the Yisur is not the Maisa, the Yisur is the feeling of coveting something that doesn't belong to you. Then the Rambam says, however, one only violates Lo Sachmod if he actually takes possession of the item. If he never takes possession of the item, just every morning I wake up and I look at my neighbor's Mercedes and I say, wow, what a great car, I wish I had that car. And that's what I do every single morning, but I never actually go to my neighbor and say, okay, how much do you want for it? And I never actually try to get it. So the Rambam says that's not a violation of Lo Sachmod. So the big kashu al the Achronim Eschad, the Rambam's understand. If you say it's a lav she'in bo maisa, how can you say you only violate it when you do the maisa of getting it? So the truth is, our Gemara might be an answer. I mean, before the classic answer of the Achronim, our Gemara might be an answer. What happened over here? He took possession of it as a pikadon originally, right? So it wasn't as a violation of wanting it. And then, while it was already in his rishus, so then he was chomed. Then he saw that he really wanted it, right? So he decides that he's not going to give it back. So over here, the possession that he's taking of it is not active. He's already in possession of it. It's a passive taking of possession. But the standard answer for the Rambam and the Pashup Shad in the Rambam is that although you don't violate Lo Sachmod until you take possession of it, the taking of possession of Lo Sachmod is not the Maisa Isser. The Isser is the Chemda. The Isser is the sense of wanting something that belongs to somebody else. How much chemda do you have in order to violate Lo Sachmod? What's the shear of the Yisr? What if I just, you know, say, that would be nice to have. Is that Lo Sachmod? That would be really nice to have. Is that Lo Sachmod? Meaning, how much do you have to desire it? So the Rambam says the shear is, you have to desire it so much that you start making a move toward getting it, and you actually get it. That you don't stop until you get it. That's how much desire is a violation of Lo Sachmod. But in Chinami, the Isser is not on the act of taking it. The Isser is on the feeling that I have in my heart. So the Lav is the Lav Shein Bo Maisa. The Maisa is just indicative of the sheer of how much you desired it. There is a famous kasha that the Rishonim and Achronim deal with, of how the Ribbono Shel Olam in general can give us this Isser of Lo Sachmod. Isn't it something that's beyond our control? Meaning, can we really control whether we want something that belongs to somebody else or not? So the Ibn Ezra gives the famous answer. The Ibn Ezra gives the answer of the villager with the princess, that the princess walks through town, comes through town on her once every 10-year visit, and the little villager who's a nobody and a nothing, he would never even have a hava amina, I'd really love to marry the princess. He knows he can't marry the princess. She's totally out of his league. So someone who might be a prince from somewhere else, maybe she's just a little bit out of his league, so he's going to have such a desire to marry the princess. But someone who's a villager who has no shaykhus, he would never even have a hava amina. So says Ibn Ezra, we have to look at other people's stuff as if it's something that's beyond us. It's just out of our league. It's not in our parsha. It's not something we can think about in terms of I do want it or I don't want it. That's the Ibn Ezra's famous teretz. Beis Halevi, a little less famously, but just as brilliantly, I think, the Beis Halevi writes that, if a person very much desires something, right? Let's say a person sees a delicious piece of food, his favorite kind of food, whatever it is, and he very much desires it. He's hungry, he's filled with this passionate desire for this item, and he's running to get it. It's 100 yards away from him, and he's running toward it. And then on the way, while he's running, he trips, and he's about to fall. And in that moment that he's about to fall, says the Beis Halevi, when he's about to catch himself on the ground, what's going through his mind? So says Beis Halevi, there's not an ounce of desire going through his mind at the time. The only thing going through his mind is, oh my gosh, I hope I don't fall, I hope I don't hurt myself. Right? I hope I don't scratch my knee or twist my ankle or wrist or something. That's the only thing that's going through his mind at the time. So says Beis Halevi, what's going to happen if he falls? He'll scratch his knee, big deal. I mean, isn't his desire so much greater? He says, no, you see the yisod is, just a little bit of yira gets rid of so much chemda, gets rid of so much desire. What does God want from us? Just a little bit of yira. Yes, you can control the amount of how much you desire something that doesn't belong to you. It depends on how much yira shemaim you have. Just a little bit of yira shemaim, and the desire will be kept under control. So anyway, so Argamar asks, why isn't it a violation of Losachmod anyway when he tries to keep it? So shouldn't he be possible from a shvua because he's a clear violator of Losachmod? So the Gemara says, no, he doesn't think he's violating Losachmod. Frek tells us, wait a second. Even if he doesn't think he's violating Losachmod, typically in Losigzal, isn't it because people think that Losachmod is only if you take something without paying for it, right? What's the guy thinking? Losachmod is only if you take something without paying for it? We already have an Isser. When you take something without paying for it. That's called losigzal. When you take something without paying for it, that's stealing. So the guy thinks it's only losachmon if you take something without paying for it. So what's his havamin? His havamin is you can never violate losachmon unless you've also violated losigzal. So the answer tells us, yeah, yesh lama lavra lav b'shnei lavin. He thinks that they're two sides of the same coin, that losachmon and losigzal are two lavin that are violated simultaneously. But that's what the person would have in a havamin. Now that's not true, la'alacha, right? La'alacha, we pass, and that's not so, right? The Gemara is saying that's only the guy's havamin. We hold you could violate losachmon even if you did pay for it, but you've coveted it so much that you forced him to sell it to you. That too is losachmon. Okay, so the Gemara still has not yet totally disproven the idea that suggestion number four. Hadam Rav Nachman Shvino Soshvas Heses. When a person is kofar akol, Reuven asks Shimon for $100. Shimon says, "I owe you nothing." So what's the halacha on a daraisa level? He doesn't have to take any shvua. But mitarabana and Rav Nachman says he has to take a shvus heses. Says the Gemara, "Name amigo dechasha mon chasha shvusa." Why do we say the same thing? How can you believe him in a shvus heses? You're obviously only making him take a shvus heses because you think he might be lying. So why don't you say that if he's chasha to be lying about money, he should be chasha to lie in the shvua as well? So you see from there, it's a raya that you don't hold me go to chashram on chashal shvasa. But we have more rayas. Raya number five: Vesu haditani Reb Chia shneim nishvan v'notlam mibalabayis. In the case of chen from the Alpen Kaso, where the balabayis asks somebody, balabayis asks Reuven, do me a favor, pay Shimon, my worker, for me. And Reuven says no problem. And Reuven reports back to the balabayis, I paid him. Shimon comes back to the balabayis, says I never got paid. Chen from the Alpen Kaso. They both claim that they're in the right, and the balabayis doesn't know who to believe. So the halacha is both of them are nishman v'notlin. Both Reuven and Shimon go to the balabayis and they swear that Reuven swears that he paid them, and Shimon swears that he never got the money, and then the balabayis has to pay both of them again. So name amigo d'chasham on chasham shvasa. But how can we believe either of these guys to swear? Shouldn't we say that obviously Rechoshed, one of them is lying? So how can we believe them in a shvua? You shouldn't just say that he's amigo d'chasham on chasham shvasa. And a sixth raya, v'su hadam rav shesha shalosh shvus mashbinoso. By the shvasa shomrim, we make him take three shvuos. That shvur shalo pashati by, he has to swear that he wasn't negligent with the item. Shvur shalo shalachti by yad, a shvur that he didn't take it for himself, and shvur sheinu b'rishusi, and a shvur that it's not currently in his rishus. Name amigo d'chasha amon d'chasha shvasa. But obviously we suspect him of wrongdoing, so how can you make him take a shvua? Shouldn't we say that we automatically assume that he's going to lie in the shvua, just like he lied about taking the item in the first place? So all those rayas are good rayas. The first three rayas failed, but the last three rayas are all good rayas that we don't say. If you look at the top Tosos, Elahadam Rav Nachman, so by the Shvos Hesses case, we said, how can we ever believe a guy to take a Shvos Hesses? Why don't we say, Migo D'chashamon Chashashvasa, says Tosos, Tema, Hahachanami Mishtamit. Why doesn't the Gemara answer the same thing it did by Modeh B'Mitzvos? By Modeh B'Mitzvos, we asked, how can you ever believe a guy to take a Shavua when he's Modeh B'Mitzvos if you obviously suspect that he might be lying? So why don't you suspect that he's lying in the Shavua? So the Gemara answered, no, he wasn't trying to lie about the money. He was trying to stall for time about the money. So why don't you say the same thing by Kofar HaKol? Maybe he's denying the whole thing because he's trying to stall for time till he has any money to pay back. And he's not really lying about the money, he's stalling about the money. So says Tosfos Yeshlomer Rav Nachman Mechayev Shuas Hesus Afilu Heichad Shetovo Va'amar Zeh Hachefetz Shuhu Biyadcha Shelihu Delos Shaych Lishtamutei. Rav Nachman would hold, you take a Shuas Hesus even when the guy says, look, you see that item in your house that's right there for the taking, that's mine. So there's no, it's not Shaych to say a Svara Vishto, and the person says, what are you talking about? It's mine. I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't belong to you. So clearly he's not saying that to stall for time until he gets the item. He has the item in his house. It's not shaykh to say ishtamutei. And still Rav Nachman would say even that kind of kofar akol has to take a shvuas hesus. So that's the Gemara's raya. So the Gemara's raya is, you see, here's a guy who's chashra mamona, and yet we're not going to be choshed him on the shvua. And yes, he's chashra mamona. It's not that we can't assume he's just stalling, because we know that he has the item currently in his house. Frekt Tosfos weiter though, wait a second, Vakasha the Parak Shvos Hadayanim Mashmad Lomachayev Shvos Hesus Ela Mishum Ishtamute. The Kapara Chadrava Eino the Meir Zomashani Dishtamit. The Gemara Shvuah sounds very much that you're only going to have to take a Shvos Hesus if we are concerned that you're stalling for time, and not if it's in your house and you're not stalling for time. So says Tosfos Yeshlomer Kivin the Bishaino Be'en Mishtamit Look, when we suspect that you might be stalling for time, that's the motivation for us saying that a kofar akol has to take a shvuas hesus. But once we're going to make that guy take a shvuas hesus, it's a lo plug. All people who are kofar akol are ultimately going to have to take a shvuas hesus, even those who we don't think are stalling for more time. Okay, period. New sugya. Abaye amar cheshinun shema milvi yishana yesh lolav. Abaye, going back to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that we had three times. Rabbi Yochanan dealt with, in our Mishnah, you have shnayim ochsin betalis, right? So he said each one takes a shvua that he doesn't own less than half of it. And then they split it. So frek the Gemara had asked, why not say that they should split it without a shvua? They're each holding on to half it, they're each muchzak and half of it already, just split it without a shvua. So Rabbi Yochanan said, no, we don't want that to happen, because then anyone could just go over to his friend and grab his talis, grab half of his talis and say it's mine, and then he'll be able to take half of it even without a shvua. So that would be ridiculous. Abaye gives another reason why we don't let them take it without a shvua. Forgetting Rabbi Yochanan's reason, right, if you look at Abaye Yom Rashi, it's time to make season love to Rabbi Yochanan. Because if you really think the guy is going and grabbing other people's talesim without any claim whatsoever, then such a guy is chashra and a shvua also. So rather, what are we concerned is going through the guy's mind? Why are we making him take a shvua? Says Abaye chashinun shama milvi yeshani yesh lolav. We're choshesh, maybe he owes him money from way back when. If you look back in Rashi, el chashinun shama milvi yeshani yesh lolav alzeh, Umakir bo shashacha, I know you owe me money, I also know that you've forgotten all about it. V'yichbar bo, and therefore if I ask you for the money, you're just going to deny the whole thing because you have forgotten all about it. V'holich v'tokev petaliso, so what do? I go and I grab your talis. V'nishba shiyesh laba demei chetzia. And I'll swear that I own the value of half of it. V'talis zu shalo. Filu glimadal kaspe shabbaday, and this talis belongs to him because when you owe me money, all of your possessions are meshuba to paying me back. So this talis actually is mine. It's meshuba to me. So that's what we're afraid the guy's going to do, and therefore you have to swear. So frak the Gemara, what do you mean? Ihachi nishko b'lo shvua. But then he's right, and he's allowed to do that. Meaning, if you really owe me money and you forgot about it, that talis is mine. So then that's all the more reason to be able to take it without a shvua. So answers Gemara, no, el chashin and Hashem is safik milvi yeshani yesh lolav. Not that it's milvi yeshani yesh lolav, it's a safik milvi yeshani yesh lolav. That there's a possibility of a milvi yeshani, meaning I'm not sure if you owe me money, but I think you might. And therefore, I'm going to go and I'm going to grab your talis. So frak the Gemara, v'lav, amrina tafis mamona misveka, mishtava nami misafik. So, wait a second, but this guy is tofis mamon misafik. He went and he grabbed the guy's talis misafik. Aren't you worried that he might swear misafik also? He might swear on the chance that he's telling the truth, because he himself doesn't know if he's telling the truth, he doesn't know if he's owed the money. So Amrav Sheshes Brei Dravidi, parshi inshi misafik shuv la parshi misafik mamona. You have to know human psychology. People are afraid of shvuas. People will stay away from a safik shvua. They'll take chances with money. Look, it might be my money, so I'll take it, because you never know, it might be mine. But a shvua, they're not going to take chances with. They're not going to take a shvua on the safik. My time, mamon nisi b'chazara. Why are people willing to roll the dice with money, with taking other people's money, more so than they are to roll the dice for the Shvua, because Mamun Nisei B'Chazara, Mamun can always be returned, Shvua Leisei B'Chazara. The Shvua can never be returned. Once you take it, it's over already. But money, people have all sorts of justifications when it comes to money. And so Chazal say that Ruban Gazlanim, that Rove of Klal Yisrael are thieves. Right now, are Rove of Klal Yisrael thieves, literally, with ski masks and bank robbers? No, Rove of Klal Yisrael thieves, because we make justifications here and there, and we don't pay attention when we borrow something from somebody to return it. And how many svarim do I have in my house that were borrowed from somebody? How many svarim do I not have in my house that were lent to somebody? Right? So that's what it means, Ruben Gazlanim. Not maliciously, but Ruben Gazlanim, because we make justifications, we're not so careful. That's Ruben, that's the same Gemara. It says, Kula Misapir Lashon Hara, that every Jew is a Misapir Lashon Hara, but Ruben Gazlanim. Okay. Says Gemara Vayter, by Reb Zera, Takva Echad Befaneinu Mahu. What if one of the guys holding onto this talus just yanks it away from the other guy, and he's now holding onto the whole thing? So, frankly, Mar Hechidami, either Shasik or Yodilei. If the other fellow is quiet, so then he's obviously moda that it's mine. Vidikot Savach might have little method. And if he's screaming and crying, stop it! Stop taking it from me! Right. So then, what was he supposed to do? Just because that guy worked out a little bit more and he's stronger than me, and he's able to yank it away from me, or he caught me by surprise or whatever? So I lose. So Lo Tzricha, the Shas may carve a Hadat Savach. Well, the case is that first I was quiet, and then I start screaming about it. My. So what's the din? Do we say, well, the fact that he was quiet at first shows that he's really modeh? Or maybe no. Maybe the fact that he's screaming now is megala, that the reason he was quiet before is because he realized that the rabbi saw exactly what was going on. The rabbi saw that this guy yanked it out of his hand, so he knew, why should I bother screaming? The rabbis know that they're not going to be crazy enough to give it to him just on the basis that he yanked it out of my hands. So I'm Rav Nachman Tashma. So Rav Nachman says, bring a raya. If they're both holding on to the talis, that's the case of our Mishnah. But if only one of them is in possession of a talis, then we say, I want to take the talis that you're in possession of. I need to bring a raya that it's mine. So what's the case? Now, if it's just as straightforward as we just made it sound, that someone is in possession of the talis, and if I want it, I need to bring a raya, well, that's very obvious. That's always the halacha. Must be that why is one of them in possession? Because he grabbed it from the other guy. And we're still saying, Amotzi Mechaver Alav Araya. So says Gemara, lo. Now, the case is, they both came in front of Beis Din, both holding on to the talus. V'amrinu lehu zilu plogu, and we told them the halacha, they have to go and divide it. They have to split it. V'nafgu, so they leave court. V'hadar asu kitavs l'chad minayu. Then they come back, and one of them is holding on to it, and the other guy is screaming. So hayam rodu yodili. So the one who's holding on to it says, I have it, because the other guy was moded to me. After we left court, he said, he told me I could have it, because he was moded that it's really mine. And the other one said, no, the reason he's in possession of it is because I rented my half to him. I rented it to him. So we say, come on, you rented it to him? No, there's no way you rented it to him. Because 2 minutes ago, you were screaming that the guy's a ganav and the guy stole it from you. And now you're going to go and rent it and trust him to rent your items? Give me a break. There's no way you would have rented it to him. So in that case, we're going to say, Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya. That's the case. It's not where he's tafas lefaneinu. V'yibayisema, another case might be, Kedektani da'asu l'kaman kitafas l'chad minayu. They came in front of us and only one of them was holding on to it. But v'idach misrach basruchi. The other one was like hanging on to the edges. He didn't really have a good piece of it. He was just sort of hanging on to the fringes. V'afil v'sumchus dam r'mam n'mutl b'savi cholkin b'lo shvua mod v'sumchus t'sirch alav klamahu. Even sumchus wells, moment of multiple suffix, you divide and you don't need a shvua, would hold that holding on to the edges isn't enough, that doesn't count enough. Okay, period. Brand new sugya. It doesn't sound like a brand new sugya because it starts with the words imtim tzilomar, but it is a brand new sugya. Imtim tzilomar takfa achab dofchaneinu, lotzino sum yado, hektesha enum kadeshas. Let's say when one of the guys grabs it in front of the other, grabs it from the other guy, so do we take it away from him? Let's say we would. Reuven and Shimon come to court, they're both holding onto a talus. Reuven grabs the talus away from Shimon. Now, if we're going to say that we make Reuven give it back to Shimon, so then clearly, hektesha enum kadeshas. Then clearly, if while they're still grabbing onto it together, Reuven says, I'm making this talus hektesh, he clearly does not have the rights to do it. He doesn't even have the rights to grab it, let alone to make it hektesh. But what about the other side? What if you hold that when Reuven grabs it, Now he's in control, and Shimon's going to need to bring a raya to get it away from Reuven. Reuven gets to keep it if he grabbed it. So Hekdesh below Takvamahu. What if instead of grabbing it physically, he makes it Hekdesh? He verbally grabs it. He does a halachic grab by making it Hekdesh. So does is he, if he's considered enough of the Bailim that he can grab it and then keep it, is he considered enough of a Bailim to make it Hekdesh? So Kivan da Amar Mar Amirasul Gvok Misirasul Hedyotami Kimanda Takfadami. Since we generally have a concept that when you speak toward Hekdesh, when you say that something belongs to Hekdesh, that's the equivalent of action in regards to a Hedyot, right? That's the equivalent of doing something for a Hedyot. So therefore, the verbally making it Hekdesh should be no worse than grabbing it, and therefore it's a valid Hekdesh. Or maybe you say, no, the guy didn't grab it. And we know Ksiv Pasuk says, V'ish ki yakdesh es beso kodesh, ma beso birushuso. What's the example the Torah gives of making something Hekdesh is beso? And just like beso's birushuso, afkol birushuso, lafuke haidilo birushuso. That to make something Hekdesh, the item has to be in your rishus. And this item is not yet in his rishus. If he wasn't yet tokef it, if he didn't yet grab it for himself, it's not in his rishus. So by definition, it doesn't fit the halachas of Hekdesh. Granted, Amira LaHekdesh is very strong, but that's only when you do the Amira on something that's yours already. But this item isn't his yet. So that's the Shaila. Do we assume that grabbing it verbally is no worse than grabbing it physically? Or do we say, no, you can only make something Hekdesh once you're already in possession of it? And this guy is not yet in possession of it. So Tashma, let's bring a raya. Dahi Masusa. There was a bathhouse. Davu Menatzu ala Beitre. That two people were fighting over who the real owner of the bathhouse was. Each one was saying, Hayamar Didihu, Vayamar Didihu. One guy said, it's my bathhouse. The other guy said, it's my bathhouse. Typical fight. Kamuchad Minayu Akdisha. One of them gets so frustrated with fighting already, he just says, that's it, it's Hekdesh. Now enjoy it. I just made it Hekdesh. So the question is it Hekdesh, right? Does it have the status of Hekdesh? So partially, very similar to our case. Again, it's a bathhouse, so you don't have like the yanking in both directions, but it's the same as Shaimoks and Metalis, where one of them is grabbing so much and they're having this tug-of-war. Finally, he says it's Hekdesh, and that was our Shaila. Does he have the right to make it Hekdesh? Because I mean, Rasul Gavokim is Rasul Hedyot. Again, the whole premise of the Shaila is that if he's toface it, he gets to keep it. Right, that if he's toface it, you can't take it away from him unless you have a raya. That's the premise of the shaila. Assuming that that's true, so then can he make it Hekdesh? So now by the bathhouse, same exact thing. The guy says it's mine, and then he finally says I'm makdish it when the other guy, as they're fighting over it. So parshi minar Rabbi Chananya Raboshi of Akulu Rabbanan, Rabbi Chananya Raboshi, and all the other rabbis were choshesh that maybe it was Hekdesh. I mean, parshi minar doesn't necessarily mean that they held for sure it's Hekdesh, just means they wouldn't use that bathhouse anymore because they were concerned it might be Hekdesh. They weren't sure what the halach is. Vamle Raboshia le Rabba, so Raboshia told Rabba, ki azalt kamed Rav Chista le Kafri baymine. Next time you go to Rav Chista in the town of Kafri, make sure you ask him this Shaila, because it would be really nice to use that bathhouse. It was a wonderful bathhouse. I just need to know if it's Hekdesh or not. So ask him this Shaila, did the person who was fighting over the bathhouse have the authority to make it Hekdesh? So Kiyasal Surah Amalir Famnuna Masisani. So when they went to Surah, Rav Hamnuna told him, so he never got to Rav Chista, I guess, but they went to Surah and they asked Rav Hamnuna, and Rav Hamnuna told him that it's really enough in the Mishnah. What's the offer in the Mishnah? Safik Bechoros, Echad Bechor Adam, Echad Bechor Behema. Let's say you have a Safik in Halach of a Bechor, whether it be a Pidina Ben Yeshu of a Bechor Adam, or it's a Bechor Behema that you're supposed to give to the Kohen. Bein Torah, Bein Tameim, and again, by the behema, it doesn't matter whether it's a kosher animal, non-kosher animal, Hamotzi Mechavero, Alav Haraya. If you have a suffix whether the animal's a Bechor, the Kohen is not allowed to take it because Hamotzi Mechavero, Alav Haraya. He has to prove that it's his. So suffix Bechoros he can't take. Yet, what do we learn about that? The Tanya Allah, Asurim Begizu Bavoda. And yet we assume that even though the Kohen is not allowed to take it, you have to be choshish that maybe it's bechor, it is a bechor, and therefore you're not allowed to do gizu v'avoda with it. It's aser b'gizu v'avoda. So, frak the Gemara, but wait a second, the Gemara makes its point now, this is going to be the raya for our bathhouse case, v'ha'hacha da'amr takfu kohen, ein motzino so miyado, d'katani amotzi mechaver alav raya. When we say amotzi mechaver alav raya, what does that mean? I have a suffik bechor, so we say the kohen can't take it away from me because amotzi mechaver alav raya. If he wants to take it away from me, he's got to bring a raya. But it also means This isn't always so pashtun in every case of Motzi Mechaver Elav Raya, but it also means if the Kohen does take it without, you know, asking me, without a Raya, he does take it, that HaMotzi Mechaver Elav Raya would tell me I can't take it back from him. Once he takes it, if he's toe-faced, it becomes his. Then I'm going to need to bring a raya that he's not allowed to keep it. I'm going to need to bring a raya that it's not a bechar if he was already toe-faced, which again just is the underlying premise of our whole shayla. The underlying premise of our shayla was by the Shnayim Motzim Metalis, if one of the guys takes it, do we now say Amotzi Mechaver Elav, and we now say Amotzi Mechaver Elav Araya, does he also have the ability to be matish it before he takes it? Right, so that's the exact issue. Now look at this case of the Safik Bukhar. The Kohen can take it. If he didn't take it, it still has Kedushas Bukhar. So you see the Hekdish can be Chal, the Kedusha can be Chal, even if the guy never takes possession of it, since he has the potential to take possession of it. Since if he were to take possession of it, we wouldn't be able to take it away from him. That's enough Bailus that the Kedusha is going to be Chal. So too by our Hektish case, by the bathhouse case, let's say. The two are fighting over the bathhouse. None of them took it yet. But if one of them would take it, we would say about the other guy, Motzi Mechaver Elav Raya. And therefore, one of them could be Makdish it, and the Hektish is going to be Chal, which is the same case by our Shai Mechaver Talas case. None of them took it yet. They're both still hanging on to it. They're both still yanking at it. They're both still pulling tug of war. But if one of them were to take it, he'd be, we would say, Motzi Mechaver Elav Raya. Therefore, even if he has not yet taken it, we could still say that his Hektish is going to be valid. Now, Rav Shimon Shkap, my chavrus pointed out to me yesterday that in the Shari Yosher, in Shar Hei Perek Vav, Rav Shimon Shkap asks, wait a second, what does the bailus of the Kohen have to do with the Yisro Giza Vavoda? I mean, what does the Kohen's possession of a Bechor have any shaykhus to the Yisro Giza Vavoda on the Bechor? Aren't those two separate dinim? An animal to Bechor, it has an Yisro Giza Vavoda as a result of its Kedusha, and you have to give it to a Kohen as a result of the dinim Mamanah Shabbat. So he says, what you see from there is, all of the dinim of Isser Veheter, by a Bechar, the Gizav Avoda, things like that, all of the Isser, what we would put in the category of Isser, is Noveya, stems from the Mamono Shel Kohen, stems from the fact that it's Mamono Shel Kohen. If it, in Dine Mamonis it's not Mamono Shel Kohen, then the Isser of Gizav Avoda doesn't begin. The Gemara clearly makes that link. The Gemara is saying it's Dafka because if the Kohen were to take it, we can't take it back from him. That's why it's Asr B'Gizav Avoda. It's a Safik Bechor. What if you held that if the coin, then you didn't hold the Motzi Mechaver Elav Raya? What if you held if the coin were to take it? We can take it back from him. Then there would not be an Isser Gizav Avoda. The definition of the Isser Gizav Avoda only starts when it's Mamono Shel Kohen. So anyway, so that's our Raya for our case. Right? That's our Raya for our case of the two guys that are holding onto the Thalus, and one of them is suddenly Makdishin. So Amalei Rabba Kedushas Bechor Kamrit. Wow, how can you bring a Raya from Bechor? Maybe I'll tell you, you know what? By the Bechor case, if the coin were to grab it, we would confiscate it from him. We take it right away from him. You know what? It's still asur b'gizav avoda because the kedusha ba me'aleh shiny. Because gizav avoda is not a kedusha that you are makdish it with. We're talking about cases where one of these guys decides to make it hegdish. Meaning yesterday it wasn't hegdish, now it is hegdish. Gizav avoda is something as soon as the animal is born and it is a bechor, the fact is that it's asur b'gizav avoda. Now it's true, it's asur b'gizav avoda because it's really mamono shel kohen. But since it's a suffek, even if you were to hold that because it's a suffek, the kohen cannot take possession of it, and if he does take possession of it, we're allowed to take it right back from him, still the isur gizav avoda is going to be there because that's a suffek isur from the moment that it's born. And suffek d'oraisa l'chumra on gizav avoda. You have to treat it like a suffek isur from the moment that it's born. It's not a kedusha that you're introducing. It's a kedusha that was there the whole time. So I'm of Chananya l'Rabba, Tanya de Misayela. So Chananya says to Rabba, I bring a brice that supports you. Supports you in what? What did Rabba say? That by a suffik bechor, if the Kohen grabs it, this is the sugi of takfa Kohen. Right? That if the Kohen grabs a suffik bechor, motzi'in miyado, that we take it away from him. So I'll prove that you are correct, that if a Kohen grabs a suffik bechor, you're right, we take it right away from him. So it's Tanya de Misayela. What's my proof to you? Hasfekos nechnasim l'dir lihis aser. That let's say you have a suffik animal, which the Gemara is going to explain later on, refers to an animal that you were poded, petar chamar, on a sheep. You exchanged the petar chamar for a sheep. Now the halacha is that sheep is not going to be subject to Meiser Behema. When you give one of every 10 animals, that sheep is not included. What if you have a suffix whether that sheep was exchanged for a Petar Chamar, was the Pidyon Petar Chamar? So it's Nichnasin L'dil L'Sasher. You're allowed to L'Sasher. You're allowed to put it in the inn with the rest of the flocks to take Meisers from it. Now wait a second. If you were to hold that when a coin grabs the Bukhar, that we cannot take it back from him, that once he grabs it, it's his, Amay Nichnasin L'dil. How can you allow such a sheep to go back into the deer to take maisers from it? Isn't it going to turn out you're giving maiser from the coin's money? Meaning the coin was not tokefit yet, but if he were tokefit, then he'd get to keep it, right? That's what we're assuming. If he were tokefit, he'd get to keep it. If that were true, then there's no way you should be able to use this in your maiser behemah cheshbon, because what's going to happen? You're going to put it back into the pen, and you're going to start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the 10th sheep might be that sheep that really belongs to the coin, that if he were tokef, he'd be allowed to keep. So that, and then it will turn out that you're pottering the rest of your sheep through the Kohen's sheep. You're not letting use someone else's sheep to potter the rest of your sheep. So that would be terrible. So Elamai, what do you see? That if the Kohen grabs it, Motzinos on the other, must be that we're allowed to take it away from him. He does not get to keep it. If he actually got to keep it, we would never be allowed to use it for Meister Behema. Says Maramle Abai says, you know what? Imishum halot say Elamar. That's not really such a great raya. Being Sachamai Askinu, we could just simply answer, no, what's the case where you're taking that sheep and you're putting it back into your flock in order to count the Meister Behema? Kigon to Leslay El Tisha Vahu. All you have is 9 other sheep plus that one. The man of shach, so miman of shach, it's okay. Ibar chiyuvahu shaper kama aser. If the sheep doesn't really belong to the kohen, it's not really a pidyon petach hamar. So then, fine, then it's good. You're allowed to give meiser from it because it's yours. And ilav bar chiyuvahu. And if it's not included in the chiyuv of meiser because it belongs to the kohen, tish alav bar isurin. Well, then you're not chayv meiser beim anyway because you only have 9 animals. And 9 animals, you don't have to take meiser beim from. You only have to take meiser beim once you have 10. So that's why the raya is not really such a good raya. Then says Abaye, hadra amar Abaye, lav milsi da amri. That which I said, that the raya is not such a good raya, I was wrong. It really is a good raya. Why? By definition, whenever you have any animal that's a suffik, by definition it can't be included in the cheshbon of maestros. No matter what the suffik is, you don't say miman of shachs. There's no such thing as a miman of shach. You always say, if it's a suffik, by definition it's out. Ditnan, how do I know this? We have a Mishnah. Let's say I'm counting animals. 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 1,000 animals, and I keep counting. And every 10th I put aside, and I keep counting. And then one of the ones that I already counted jumps back into the pen. And I lost it. I have no idea which one it is. So now everything is putter. The ones that are already out are putter. The ones that are still in, they're all putter. The ones that are out are putter because they were already counted. So they're already out. The ones that are in are putter because each time I count 10, one of them might be this one that was already counted and is therefore putter. So therefore it's going to be a suffix. Now, but one second, if you hold the suffix still needs to be gemeisered, so you should still take the meiser mimadavshach. If it's a bar chiyuva, if the 10 that I count do not include the one that ran back in, so good, I'm good to go, then it's fine. And if it's not a bar chiyuva, so fine, it's pater, but what's the big deal? So I'll give an extra animal, so what? So it's pater. So what's the problem? So dama rava min yaroi pater, right? So it should be good. So what must we be assuming? Asiri vaday amar achman avlo asiri safek. The nature of the din of Meister Behema is that it only lends itself to vaday. It doesn't lend itself to safek. You only give the 10th one that is vaday the 10th, not the 10th one that's maybe the 10th. So achanami over here as well. Asiri vaday amar achman avlo asiri safek. If the animal, one of these animals, might be the animal that was already monoi, that was already counted, so the fact that it's a maybe automatically exempts the entire thing from Meister Behema. So that's why Abaye says that his rejection of the right is not really such a good rejection. Anytime you have a suffix, it's not even shaykh to talk about. It's automatically excluded from Meister Behema. Okay.